In your Bibles, please turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12 in your Scofield Bible, page 1238. And we'll be reading responsively the first six verses. Once again, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, and page 1238. And now shall we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And let's pray. Father, it's certainly a delight any day that it's Sunday to be in this place. And it seems even more special when the weather is severe, and yet you privilege us to be here. Thank you for this crowd. Thank you for this day. Thank you for our preacher. Thank you for thy word. And we're privileged now to hold copies of your word in our hands and to read it together. What a blessing. And now we get to hear its preaching. What a privilege. Bless, we pray, in this hour, and bless our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the hour of the preaching service, that hour of the week for which every other hour is made, that thing that is the source of power for every ministry of this church, its multifaceted program. Now, Father, help the people to be awake and alert to listen. And I pray today that a new dimension shall be given to our Christian lives. Holy Spirit, control my lips for the next few minutes, and my mind and my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Sunday morning, though most of you were not in this place, I brought a message on the subject of heaven. I have forgotten the title of the sermon, but I preached on heaven. And the days before I preached the message, I thought a great deal, of course, about heaven. Last Sunday, I preached about it. And this week, I've been humming and singing the little song all week. I've dreamed of a place that's called heaven. 'Tis made for the pure and the free, the haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. I have thought this week a great deal about heaven because of the message of last week. I even indulged in a season of daydreaming, maybe even a little dreaming, as I was in a motel room in Florida, reliving the day last Sunday, reliving the message about heaven. I got to thinking about it. You see, I believe in it with all of my heart. I am as sure in my heart that I am, that I'm standing behind this piece of wood today, that our loved ones and friends who died in Christ are in a real city today. I've watched too many folks die. And I am. I do not mind being called unlearned by the learned for my hope for heaven. Nor do I mind being called a fanatic by the normal in order to keep my hopes for the holy city. I was sitting thinking about heaven in the motel room, and I began to daydream. I think I went off to sleep and woke up and back to sleep and woke up. And what part of this was daydreaming and what part was dreaming, I'm not sure. But I indulged in the fancy of dreaming and daydreaming and thinking in my mind and daydreaming. And sometime even dreaming, I think, about heaven. And while I was doing that, I visited the holy city. May I share with you today what I saw? I'm not saying that I had a vision of heaven. And I'm not saying that I actually saw it. But in my daydreaming, I visited in my mind heaven. I forget which of the 12 gates I entered. And I did not know when I arrived there which street to take. And there I was standing there, stranger-like, on the corner of Glory Street and Hallelujah Boulevard, when two of its citizens accosted me and offered to be my guide. I introduced myself to these two citizens as I continued my daydreaming and sometimes dreaming. And I gave them my name. My name is Jack Hiles, I said. And one of them said, Jack, don't you know who we are? And I said, I'm sorry. I never saw you. And one of them said, Jack, how is Mother? And I said, Hazel. You're Hazel. You're my sister I never saw. And you're Lorraine. You're the other sister I never saw. For they went to the city before I was born. I should have recognized you, I said, for the Hiles' eyes. Those brown eyes should have given you away. Lorraine, I was expecting to see 2 7-year-old girls, I said. She smiled and gently said, No, Jack, we came to heaven at 7, but we kept growing. We became 8 and 9 and 10 until we came to the richest part of life, the richest maturest years of life, and there we stayed. But we have gotten to keep the buoyancy of our childhood along with our maturity. And I said, but Lorraine, Hazel, what will Mother be like when she gets here? She's not coming as a child and she can't grow up. What will she be like? And Lorraine said, why, Jack, Mother will revert to midlife and be the same age we are, but she'll still get to retain the charm of her advanced years as she returns to her mid-years. And I said, Lorraine, I thought you were afflicted. I thought you couldn't walk or talk. Oh, she said, for these many years I've been walking and talking and dancing and jumping up and down, shouting and hollering, and it's only for 7 years, and I've been like this all these years. Hazel, I asked, how large is this place? Oh, I don't know, Jack. Haven't got the faintest idea. But I do know how large that a housing development that's being built I know how large that is. There's a housing development going on up here, and I'll show it to you. And so we flew over there for a while. And she said, now, this is what they call the New Jerusalem. Now, nobody lives here yet, but somebody will someday. And they took me down the street of the New Jerusalem and showed me my house. It wasn't as big as some. My house was not as large as Ms. Bartell's house. And my house wasn't as large as John Colston's house and others far more deserving than I. But I got to see. You see, my name is written there in the book of life. And I have a mansion. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. And she said, now, Jack, how big heaven is, I don't quite know. But she said, this city, this housing development is being prepared that someday we'll leave heaven and go down into space. And it's 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles high. And Jack noticed all the streets here, she said, they're being paved now. And they're pouring gold on all the streets. And as they're being prepared, notice that the gates are beautiful and gorgeous gates of pearl. And notice the foundation, all kinds of 12 precious stones like emerald and sardonyx and sapphire and chrysolite and chalcedony and others of the stones. And Asadarine? Where are the hospitals? Oh, she said, we have no hospitals here. She said, Jack, nobody ever gets cancer up here. She said, Jack, nobody ever walks halls with stooped shoulders and furrowed brows wondering about the condition of a loved one. I've been here now for, 60-some-odd years, and no hospitals up here. You see, there's no cancer, there's no heart attack, there are no wrinkled brows, and there are no crow's feet, and there are no stooped shoulders, and there's no pneumonia, and no little child ever gets leukemia, and we don't have any hospitals and cemeteries and hearses and undertakers, and we have none of that up here. I said, but where are the movie houses? Oh, she said, no movie houses. All we do show every once in a while your movie on Fresh Oil, but we have no movie houses, no X-rated movies, no Playboy magazine, no pornography, no liquor, no cigarettes, no cursing, no gambling, no dancing, no discos. We have none of that up here. And I said, but are there any scars up here? I don't see any scars, I said, Hazel. And Hazel said, well, Jack, there are only a few scars up here. None of us have any scars. Those of us who had wounds, those wounds are gone. The scars are all gone. Only one person has scars up here, and that's the Lord Jesus. And I said, could I see him? I mean, could you take me to him? I've been preaching about him now for 35 years, and I've been telling folks about him all over this country all these many years. And I trusted him 45 years ago almost, and I want to see him. And she said, We'll let you see him before you get away. But she said, Jack, you'll be glad to see his scars. Because every time we see those scars, Jack, it reminds us that he suffered for us on the cross. And we have no need for communion up here to remember Calvary. We can look at the wounded side and the scars in the hands and feet of our Savior. Hazel, the great crowd over there, I asked. Who are they? The crowd coming toward us. They're waving white palms toward us and coming toward us. And look, there's a welcome sign. Who are they? She said, Jack, don't you know him? And I said, well, of course I do. That's Mr. Wiley. That's the first person I ever sent up here. I led him to Jesus one day on a country road outside Marshall, Texas. And in a few weeks, he dropped dead with a heart attack. And that's Margie beside him. She's the second person I ever sent up here. She was a little girl, went to Tennessee Temple College and taught down there. And died in a car wreck and up here. And there's Margie Wiley. But I said, who are the others? And Hazel said, Jack, don't you know who they are? And I said, no. And she said, that's all the people you sent up here. I said, you mean those are people I sent up here? And there were folks that I'd set beside on airplanes and folks that I'd set beside on buses and folks I'd accosted on a street corner and told about Christ and folks whose houses I had visited and folks I'd led to Christ through the years. And a great army of people welcomed me. And a strange thing, they all had Reese peanut butter cups. I don't know why, but they all gave me Reese peanut butter. You see, I'm the director of this dream, so I can have put anything I want to in there. And Hazel said, Jack, was it worth it now? And I said, worth it? What do you mean? She said, the tears. She said, the burdens. She said, trying to keep all the bills paid in the church and the schools. She said, all the nights, and lonely nights in hotels, and counseling with preachers, and working while others played. Was it worth it? Worth it? Nothing. 10,000 times 10,000. Great army of people I saw that were there. I said, Loreen, I see a lot of folks here that have rings on. Everybody doesn't have rings on, but I see a great crowd of young men over there. They're all wearing rings. Who are they? And she said, those are prodigal sons. She said, when they came home, the father gave them rings to put on their finger. That's all the men who were saved from rescue missions and the men who were saved from lives of deep sin, and all the fallen women who were saved, those are the prodigals that came back. Those are not the ones, Jack, that grew up from childhood and from the nursery to beginners to primary to juniors to junior high to high school to adulthood, living for God. Those are not those who got married still clean and pure. Those are the fallen ones, and they don't feel worthy to be up here. Very much, and the Lord Jesus had put rings on their fingers to make them feel at home. I said, Hazel, I want to ask you a question. I see something I can't quite understand. I see over here a bunch of shelves over here, and I see a bunch of bottles on those shelves, and bottle after bottle after bottle after bottle after bottle. And what are all those bottles? And she said, don't you remember in 56 Psalm that the Lord said, He was going to bottle up all our tears and put all our tears in heaven. She said, Jack, would you like to see Mother's tears? And I said, I would. And so she took me over to a great big shelf, jar after jar, bottle after bottle of liquid. And she said, Jack, this bottle here, this bottle contains the tears that Mother shed when I was sick, said Loreen. These are the tears that Mother shed the 7 years she sat beside me when I never walked or talked, and the tears are the ones she shed when she sat beside a little casket in a church and then lowered the casket in the grave. These are the tears she shed there. And then she said, Jack, here are tears that she shed when Daddy left. This bottle contains the tears she shed over Daddy's life and over his sin. And when Daddy left us, this is the bottle of tears. And she said, Jack, these are the tears that your mother shed when you went in the army. And the tears she shed is your training to go overseas and fight in the war. These are the tears of loneliness. And then I said, any tears, did you catch the tears I shed? And Hazel said, yes, Jack, these are yours. Here, this bottle over here, they're the tears you shed while you're preaching sermons, begging folks to come to Christ and begging folks to live for God and begging young folks to be clean and do the will of God. And she said, this bottle here, the tears you shed as you shared the heartaches of people and their burdens day and night. And these are tears you shed in prayer as you prayed for God to help your people, as you prayed for your young people, as you prayed for your high schoolers and your college, and as you prayed for the senior citizens. These are tears in this bottle that you shed there. And I saw the tears. I said, Doreen, those shelves over there, what are they? What are they for? And she said, that's the perfume section. And she said, Revelation 5:9 says that our prayers are the perfume of heaven. And she said, this is the perfume. All these are the prayers of heaven. And I said, by the way, then we came to the prettiest place of all. Ah, how beautiful it was. And in my fancy of daydreaming and dreaming, I said, Hazel Lorreen, that place over there, that's the prettiest. That's the Palm Beach of heaven. That's the Palm Springs of heaven. What's that place over there? And Lorreen smiled and she said, Jack, she said, that's the place where the martyrs live. That's heaven's Palm Springs. That's where John Huss lives, and Ridley, and Latimer, and Hooper, and Savonarola, and Polycarp, whose body the flames refused to destroy until a spear had to take his life, because the flames couldn't destroy the body of the great saint of God. And Wycliffe, whose ashes were by the decree of the Council of Constance thrown in the river. That's the place where the martyrs live. And I said, I don't deserve a place like that. Not at all. I'd like to say I've suffered some. But I said, listen to the music. The music. Oh, the music. And Lorreen said, this is a music city here. I said, who's that playing the harp? And she said, that's David. And he was exactly what I thought he'd look like. And I said, who's playing the trumpet? She said, that's Gabriel. I said, who's at the organ? She said, that's Handel. And he was playing, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And she said, Jack, I want you to meet William Cowper. And I said, sure, I've heard about you. And William Cowper shook my hand and said, do they still sing my song? And I said, Mr. Cowper, down on earth they still sing it. Oh, we sing it often. There is. I said, every time we have the Lord's Supper, almost we sing it, or Miss Colston plays it. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains. He said, do they still sing when I can read my title clear to mansions in the skies, young people? Hey, and I said, yes, they still sing that. And I said, I know him. I know him anywhere. A lot younger than he was when I saw him, but I know him. And a happy fellow shouting all over heaven with his shoes off came up and said, Brother Hiles, do they still sing my song at First Baptist Church of Hammond? And I said, oh, yes, Dr. Weigel, we still sing No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus. And there's no friend as kind as he. He not only saves but keeps me. And no one ever cared for me. Yeah, we sing it. And he clapped his hands and went on his way shouting and rejoicing. And then I met Augustus Toplady. And Augustus Toplady said, do they still sing my song? And I said, sure, we often sing Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. And then there was Wesley and Watts and Fanny Crosby. And we sang, Fanny and I sang together. She carried the melody, I carried the part. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, my favorite song. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And then I heard somebody singing, we'll never say goodbye in glory in the morning. And I said, Dr. John, he said, do you still sing the song? But he wasn't looking like that. He's looking straight and his eyes were normal. And didn't recognize him at first. And didn't have a pot belly anymore. And I said, oh, yes, Dr. John, before we leave every Sunday night, we still sing it. We'll never say goodbye in glory. We'll never say goodbye up there. And we walked and we talked. And, oh, you wouldn't believe all the things we saw. We saw cherubs. We saw chariots. And we saw the prancing of white horses. We heard music that we couldn't even tell you about. And then I said, wow, wowee, what a mansion. That's the prettiest one I've seen. Who lives there? And Hazel said, that's the home of the widow who gave her two mites. That's where she lives. She has a nicer home than Peter or Paul. But, and I said, hey, who lives over there? And you know who lived over there? Martha Hartman, the little blind lady, used to come to First Baptist Church of Hammond, used to stand up here and sing. And she'd say about me, Brother Jack, you're the prettiest person I ever felt. And she had eyes better than most people do. And I said, but wait a minute. I said, there's some of the prettiest mansions I've ever seen. They're still vacant. Well, what are they for? They're beautiful, just like the one the widow has. Who are they for? And Lorreen said, she said, Jack, she said, one of those is for Maxine Jeffries for all she's done with the deaf people. And she said, then one is for Marge Denny, and the eyes she gave to the blind people, how she worked for the blind. Now, they're not here yet, but we have these special ones prepared. One's for Ellen Smith and the Bob Houstons. They work with retarded people while other folks are enjoying the service on Sunday. And one's for Jack Belby for the suffering he went through. And one's for Mrs. Johnston, the lady who was so ill and lost her eyesight. And one's for John Colston for all the comfort and cheer he brought to the lives of other people. And one's for Randy Erickson for all the work he did through difficulty and heartache and trial. And then she said, Jack, she said, this one over here. She said, that's Mama's. She said, Lorraine and I have been working on that one. Jesus has it all finished. We've been sort of decorating it up a little bit and putting some of your pictures in there, you know. And Jack, we got all your books there, you see. Because you know how much Mama had wanted to read your books in the last years of her life. But Mama couldn't read. And so we got it, all your books there. And Mama got them all ready for Mama to read when she gets here. Oh, by the way, Jack, Mama's Mama also, she got here before we did. And she died when Mama was young, only 9. And she's been looking forward all these many years. 86 years she's been looking forward for Mama to come home. And we know that Mama is going to come home before too long. And so we, the three of us, been sort of doctoring up a little bit in her mansion. And I said, oh, my Hazel, Lorraine, I've got to go. I've got to speak tonight at 7:30 at the church in Tallahassee, Florida. I've got to get back down there in a hurry. And so we passed by chariots and walls of emerald and foundations of sapphire and chalcedony and amethyst and topaz and walked on streets of gold. I came to one of the gates. I forget which one it was. And then Hazel said, Jack, just one more thing before you go. And I said, what is that one thing? And she said, there's someone wants to see you. And I said, who could it be? She said, here he comes now. He had a crown on his head. He had a long, flowing robe. His voice was as the sound of many waters. He had scars in his hands and his feet, and there was a fresh wound in his side. And Hazel, Lorraine, and I knelt, and we sang, My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the folly of sin I resign. My blessed Redeemer, my Savior, Thou, if ever I love Thee, my Jesus is now. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face. And then I said, Jesus, I got to go tell some folks about you tonight. And I got to try to stir some people up to live for you. And I kissed Hazel goodbye, and I kissed Lorraine goodbye, and I said, oh, by the way, I'll be back. I dreamed of a place that's called heaven. 'Tis made for the pure and the free, the haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. We sang it, how beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. I can hear Mrs. Johnson singing it from a Baptist church and shout between words, sweet haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. And if you find out someday it's not real, don't tell me. I don't want to know. Our Heavenly Father.